All right. Good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Hey, welcome to this family Bible study. We're kind of going to just move along today. We're going to talk about, we've talked about the hour of temptation. We've talked about the latter days. We've talked about the latter hour, latter rains in this week as run. And we're going to talk a little bit. We've been talking about the false Messiah. We've been talking about the devil and his appearance on earth and so forth. Just want, I had mentioned that he's coming in peaceably. Many people do not understand how the germination of this event will work in and upon the people. And therefore, you could be tempted by not having that information. So I thought we would take this one lecture and understand better Lucifer, the devil, the dragon, all the serpent, all one and the same. Old Satan wrapped up with many different titles. That way he's a better deceiver. All right? So we had started in Mark 13 in the last lecture, where it speaks of being delivered up before his synagogue, that is to say Satan's synagogue, as we carry it through in the book of Revelation. Jesus said a great deal about this that leads you into a much deeper study in that 13th chapter, where he's giving the seven events that consummate the end of this age. And one of them happens to be, if you would, in that 14th verse. And this is one of his warnings of how you could know. So let's ask a word of wisdom from our Father, and let's talk about the desolator. Okay? And we come to chapter 13 of Mark, the 14th verse. Listen carefully. Jesus, again, giving you that message, that information. Verse 14 reads, "And when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand." In other words, that's in print there. And Christ wants you that have eyes to see and ears to hear to wake up to see it. "Then let them which be in Judea," here giving you the geographical location, which is to say, I'll simply pass it as the state in which Jerusalem lies, where all these things are going to take place, "flee to the mountains." Now, the word in the Greek manuscripts for "it," as it is used here in this verse, "standing where it ought not," well, I can tell you, it's not an "it." And how did that come to pass? Dr. Moffat, who was one of the greater scholars of this century, in my mind, translates it, "standing where he ought not," and that's absolutely correct. Because the Greek word that is translated for "she," "he," "it," and so forth, is all one word. But the subject determines the value of the word. In other words, if you're talking about a chunk of wood, then it's an "it." And if you're talking about a female, it's "she." If it's talking about a male, naturally the same word becomes "he." So the abomination of desolation makes a very interesting point then. If we're talking about a condition, then desolation is accurate. But if we're talking about an entity, then the correct translation is "he," if it happens to be a male. And in this particular case, it is. And so be it. As we do that, and as we think about it, I want to show you how Satan operates, even names himself, if you would, in many places. But I want you to see and verify that he will be cast to this earth. It would be real easy to turn to Revelation chapter 12 and do that, but I want to go to the Old Testament. The Old Testament, let's go to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to go to the 14th verse. I don't wish to read the entire 14th verse, so I'll tell you what it says, and if you're not familiar with it, then you can read it later to check me out on it. But what it's talking about is when we're in the millennium, peace has totally come to the world, and everything is at rest. And God has taken power, Christ has conquered, and we're in the millennium age. And then a strange a strange teaching falls when we're in the millennium. Where will Satan be, so that you know where we're coming from? He's going to be in the abyss, locked away for 1,000 years. In the sight of people, yes, we'll document that here in Isaiah 14. The 14th chapter of Isaiah, then, I want to pick it up with the 12th verse, and I want you to listen closely as it breaks into the millennium scriptures here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? What are you doing down here where we are? Now, naturally, he's locked in the pit. Now, why would it call him Lucifer, son of the morning? Well, I want to teach you a Hebrew word, if I may. I'm going to ask that the word Lucifer from the Hebrew dictionary of the Strong's Concordance be brought up, and it is pronounced Helele. It comes from the prime root, 1984 in the Hebrew dictionary, in the sense of brightness, the morning star. All right? Now, why did I do that? To have you know that Satan is a copyist. For you've heard Christ is the morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. I think that's correct, if my memory doesn't fail me. Well, for every name that Christ uses, or the scriptures use to identify Christ, Satan's going to copy it or claim to be that. Just like Jesus' name from Yeshua, which is to say, I'll pronounce it all the way in English, God's Savior. That's what Jesus means when you say it to correctly, Yahweh's Savior, or salvation by Yahweh. But God's Savior, that when you say Jesus, that's what you say. When you say instead of Jesus, you have this same false morning star standing in the place of the morning star. And that's the way he operates, and that's why Christ warned you over and over, don't let anyone deceive you. So it's important. So it's important that you know what the word Lucifer means, the morning star, his brightness. Boy, he's bright, he looks good, he shines great, all right, and literally speaking. That's why that even some in the first chapter of Genesis, the second chapter of Genesis, rather, or we'll go on to the third to be more specific, that the serpent is called the upright one, or the glistening one, the shining one. All right? He was always quite a looker. All right? There's all being Satan by many names. That's why you must broaden your mind or you're going to be deceived. All right? How are you fallen to the earth? I can tell you, Michael booted him out. All right? Verse 13. And thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God are the children of God, even the Son of God, the only begotten. I am above them. That's Satan speaking. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Where is that? Jerusalem, Mount Zion. In the sides of the north. This is why Paul would teach, don't let anyone deceive you. Christ is not returning to us in any shape, form, or fashion, in any meeting or any gathering, until after the son of perdition, that is to say, the one that's already been promised to perish, Lucifer, the son of the morning, Satan, appears in the temple on Mount Zion claiming to be God himself. Some people are a little dense, but I fail to understand how people can not understand this in its simplicity through the teachings of Christ in their simplicity. What about the sides of the north? That's where the throne itself sits. It sat there. I'm going to play God. That's what he's saying. 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. You want to fly away? That's what he's going to be saying. I will bring you up into the clouds and fly you out of here. I'm the first Jesus. When he comes, that's he speaking, not me. I've come to fly you home. How many are going to get on his wagon being taken first because they've been taught that way, actually, in the supposed Christian church? I will be like the Most High. I'm going to play God. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. You're in the abyss, to the sides of the pit. 16. That they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Is this him? Is this what deceived us? Were we afraid of this miserable wretch? The answer is many people are. Even though Christ gives us power over him, when he is cast to the earth to parade as the Savior of the world and then into the abyss, I feel Michael, the one that cast him to earth, Revelation 12:7, is the same one that will put him in the abyss when the scriptures leading into this, which are quite important to you to make a home study of, the time of rest, the millennium, just prior to that, in the hour of temptation, okay? Verse 17, and we'll complete there. That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the door of his prisoners. He didn't want to save anybody, even those that he converted. He didn't want to save them. He's already sentenced to die. More company, more happiness on his part. I'll take them along with me, he might say. Now, it's important that you understand, I had spoken in the last lecture, in the hour of temptation, the last half of it, at how he would enter peaceably, how that he would enter prosperously, how he would pay all your bills. We're going to go to the book of Daniel. And I can hear it already. Some are going to say, the book of Daniel, that's the Old Testament. What's he doing back there in the Old Testament? I'm obeying Christ. Don't you ever let any man be ignorant enough to tell you, you can't help how ignorant men are, but don't you be ignorant enough to believe them when they tell you Daniel is all past because Christ said, when you see this that is spoken of by Daniel the prophet at the last hour, right at the wedding hour practically, you'd better wake up. So Daniel is not past. Christ made the book of Daniel, if you would, a part of the New Testament with that statement. So don't give me that stuff about you're back in the Old Testament. If Christ told you to go understand it from Daniel, that's where you're going to have to go, is to the book of Daniel. Listen to Christ, not some would-be rev, all right? Revs will get you all revved up and in the wrong pew if you're not careful. I mean, we got some good ones out there, but we got some flakes and wimps also that are afraid to take a stand for God, hiding behind something, what I have no idea, all right? But be that as it may, the judgment will start with them, and the sooner the better. Christ said, go to the book of Daniel and understand. And before we finish this lecture, I'm going to teach you of the desolator. First, I want to show you how he's going to come, how he will act, so whereby you can recognize him. That's what a teacher in the end times is to do, is to teach and prepare mentally and spiritually, even physically, those that study the Word of God to not be deceived. We're going to chapter 8 in the book of Daniel, and we're going to pick it up with verse 23. That's what I mean. You got to watch men. There are not 33 verses in the 8th chapter of Daniel, all right? 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, this is prophetic, when the transgressors are come to the full, I mean, when it's reaching its peak, right up to the hour, a king of furious countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Satanic. Do you not remember? Your mind should have kicked into gear, and the little computer that's up here between your ears should have said, furious countenance and understanding dark secrets. That reminds me of something way back over in the New Testament. It sure does. It would remind one of the book of Ephesians chapter 6 where Paul was teaching, and Paul would say, okay, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood concerning the end time, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, meaning the heavens. And of course he's talking about Satan in this same role. Dark sentences shall stand up. It's the Antichrist, instead of Jesus being properly translated, claiming to be Jesus. Verse 24, and his power shall be mighty. Don't ever underestimate that, my friend. It will be. You still have power over him. Christ gave it to you as far as yourself being deceived. But he is mighty. Why? It's from higher places. He's supernatural. He can perform miracles in the sight of men, such as lightning from the heavens, as it is written in the book of Revelation, to perform miracles to deceive men through his supernatural efforts. But not by his own power. In other words, it's all drawn from the dragon Satan. And this is a role he's playing. And he shall destroy wonderfully. Don't let those words deceive you. Destroy wonderfully. When you take God's own and deceive them, it destroys their faith and understanding of the true Christ. If they accept the false, they become a Jezebel rather than a Christian. All right, you got it? And shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. In other words, the whole world, other than God's election, that are prepared mentally to not be deceived, they're going to wander after him. Verse 25, And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart and by peace. That's what I want you to pick up on. Not war, not threats. By love, prosperity, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of pieces, a prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. What's it talking about here? What is it saying? It's saying here that he will come. He won't be making war. He'll be playing savior. And naturally, he will stand up against the prince of princes, which being Christ, because he's claiming to be Christ. He's buying everybody, here, let me take care of all your bills of that old world system, get you started off right in my kingdom. I, the Son of God, helps you. Well, he is the Son of God. Satan is. God created him. He just went a little bad, and he's already sentenced to die, and he wants some company. Are you interested? You can understand readily now why that anyone that is not mentally prepared to see this come to pass, the position it puts them in, if they've listened to some one verse, Charlie, that has stated, you don't have to understand prophecy or revelation. All you have to do is believe and be saved. But the question is, friend, saved by who? Because there are two saviors that this final generation must deal with, the fake and the true. Which will it be? Anyone that is biblically illiterate, without definite intercession by the Holy Spirit himself, are doomed. I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm saying they're doomed as far as staying clear and not bowing a knee to Satan himself, thinking that he is Jesus. Why? He's being described here as the Prince of Peace. That's the way he will take over, is as the Prince of Peace. I bring peace to the world. Every little Bible store leaflet and booklet in the world, through all of us, look forward to the Prince of Peace. They just forget to tell you there's a fake one coming first and will absolutely have the power and the might to pay the bills. Then the question becomes, can you be bought or can you be deceived? I don't think any of you could probably be bought. I really hope not. But there's a lot of people in this world that can be deceived with the knowledge and with the information that they've been fed. It's real sad. And some people would say, well, everybody's heard the word. Oh, have they? What have they heard? Don't worry about prophecy. Don't worry about revelation. You'll be gone. That's not teaching. That's deception to the nth degree. God did not have time to waste on words that were not meaningful to his followers. And there would be minds that would say, yeah, but that's those that are left. Well, hang around, friend. When we get our two before after you in the millennium to get some sense in your head, maybe you'll wake up then. Because there will be many deceived will be taught in the millennium because they didn't have a prayer of a chance because they were misled in this generation. Stick around. Don't believe it now. Put it on the shelf, but believe it when you see it come to pass. Verse 26. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. In other words, the daily oblation, when it was replaced by Christ himself. Don't confuse the false with the true. Because how did he end the daily oblation, the evening and the morning? He ended it by being crucified on a cross, by becoming the sacrifice for one and all times. Make sure you love him, he that loved you enough to give his life, rather than pretty boy, bright shining star, look sharp, coming on great, lots of money, comes in peacefully, fast talker, good preacher, miracle worker with his fingers, with the power he has to deceive those of this world that have not the truth. Okay? And we're going to go on to verse 27, and that'll complete the chapter then. Verse 27 reads, and I, Daniel, fainted and was sick. Certain days afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Daniel would be told that near the end of this book, shut up the book, Daniel. You're not meant to understand, but the wise in the end times will understand. My question is this, are you wise in God's word? Well, how do you become wise in God's word? By studying it, of course. And allowing the more you study, the more the Holy Spirit will help you. But if you're too lazy to study it, then he won't help you do anything. God is not fond of lazy people. Never has been, never will be. Or people that are... What good is somebody that will listen to every wind that comes along? They're like a reed shaken in the wind. That's what Jesus would say about John the Baptist. What did you go down there to hear? Some reed shaken in the wind? Some wimp that'll listen to this one minute and that another minute? No, you heard John who keeps my word straight on. Do you keep God's word straight on? That's the question. Are you familiar with it? Are you acquainted with it? Are you experienced and matured enough in it that God can use you in this generation? That's the question, friend. Think about it. I want to move on now, if we may. I want to go to the 11th chapter of this book of Daniel. After all, it was Christ that told you to come here, was it not? Do you obey Christ? I hope so. We're going to chapter 11, and we're going to read another report of the same incident. That is to say, the false Messiah upon this earth, and in a sense, the actions that even in the spirit he would bring to pass when only the evil spirit was allowed on earth before he was cast out here. Chapter 11, in verse 21, it reads, at the fall of a certain thing or king, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. That is this, understand, we're not talking about some force or something else, that is to say, system. This is a person. Is this the man that deceived the world? That's right, you got it. To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably. Beloved, it is so important that you absorb that. Peaceably, and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. What flatteries? I'll pay all your bills. If you'll worship me and follow me, my kingdom is here now. It has come. And you're a member of it, and you have nothing to worry about, I will furnish everything for you. There is one big difference in this Messiah and our Messiah. our Messiah, when he actually returns at the seventh trump, we are changed instantly into the new spiritual body. You're still going to be in the flesh when this one comes. And as long as you can pinch yourself, reach down there and pinch yourself, and it hurts, the true Christ isn't on this earth. Whoever's claiming to be is a fake, out-and-out fake, false. All right? Oversimplification? No. A fact. By flatteries of saying, I'll take care of you. You've got nothing to worry about. But the important part, beloved, he comes in peacefully. Why? Every religion of the world, and the world is full of religion, will believe that this supernatural prince, Messiah, Savior, Maitreya, Tsar, is the absolutely the man that they have been expecting in their within their religion. All right, he will be accepted because he comes in. Do you think you've heard Satan quote the Bible to Christ in Matthew chapter 4? He'll be preaching up a storm. And those that are biblically illiterate will not understand that he twists scripture just enough that it will rob you. Are you going to let it happen? Do you enjoy being deceived? Think about it. I don't like to be made a fool of myself. I never have particularly enjoyed that. Verse 22. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflowing from before him. Pretty difficult to fight against the supernatural entity producing anything somebody wants for nothing with peace and peace and peace. All right, pretty hard to even talk against something like that. Him shall be before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And of course that means the stronghold of that time, and even a play back to the crucifixion. And after the league made after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with the small people. And of course, that's the Kenites, the goy in the Hebrew tongue. That word is misused by many people today because they're ignorant of the Hebrew manuscripts. Right? That is to say, as to who some people even call part of the house of Israel goy in ignorance. Verse 24. And he shall enter peaceably, again, remember it, he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. Any role, if you wish, that Satan has ever played, it's going to be different in this one. He shall scatter among them the prey, the spoils, the riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. That time being the hour of temptation. Or will you be tempted? Will you fall into his step? Do you understand how he spreads the prey and the riches among them? That's you can buy people. And with the ability to back it up with supernatural so-called religion, most people, even they that have a question, don't worry, he'll be able to answer it for you. A question such as, well, why haven't we changed into our spiritual bodies yet? Naturally, he will be causing trials to take place where those that do love their God and stay with him, God's elect, and as it is written in Mark 13, and the reason Jesus told you to come to this book of Daniel, whereby the Holy Spirit could speak through them as those trials were publicized or even televised to the whole world. And at that time, he will give all the riches of the world to them. That is to say, to those that bow a knee to him. But his answer to the question would be, don't you love your family? Don't you want to bring them to me and let me save them? That's why it is written that mother will betray the daughter to death. A mother doesn't cause her daughter's death. Satan, one of his names, is death. And when Slewfoot, pretty boy, the Morning Star one, this fake, ask the mother, don't you want your daughter saved? She's going to say, well, she's a good girl. She just believes that you're not the true Christ. But really, she's a sincere, dedicated girl. Read your Bible every day. Have mercy on her, Jesus. The mother doesn't know. She's talking to a fake, the fake Jesus, instead of Christ. And therefore, a mother would betray a daughter in that sense. Many of you have got relatives you know would do it to you. And that's good. That's biblical. With Mark chapter 13 stipulates it. Matthew 24 stipulates it. So he comes in not by war. He does not have horns and a pitchfork, but he has long robes and a turned around collar. Not really, but we'll say that. Looks so religious you can't understand. Looks exactly like Jesus, like you expect him to look. He's the morning star. Well, he will not be lying, in a sense, when he calls himself the bright and morning star, because that's his name also. But God expects you to be mature enough in his word that even though two have the same name, you know the difference between the two when one is the devil and one is the Savior. Many will not. Many will be deceived in that hour. How do I know? If you can't look at this world today and see the biblical, how many are biblically illiterate and figure that out for yourself, you do have a problem. If you can picture what we've covered today, his method of operation, his method of appearing in this generation, able to perform those miracles and claiming to be Jesus, how many will follow him? Because he's not mean. He doesn't kill people. He comes in peaceably, just like you would expect Jesus, in the clouds. And don't be surprised if he doesn't have fake marks on him, just the same. This is where they nail me. It doesn't matter. The first entity. Jesus told you in Mark 13, friend, he said, hey, if they tell you he's out in the desert, if they tell you somewhere else, don't believe it. Because the false Christ shall come. Not maybe, shall come. Are you prepared mentally and spiritually for that? Now, I want to go to the 9th chapter and the 27th verse in closing. In this book of Daniel. This is the verse and the thing that Jesus told you to come here for. And after we read this verse, you can readily see how the King James translators and many other scholars misinterpret, whereby the Hebrew is very specific. First, I will read from the straight English, all right? Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Remember what Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not. What's that? Satan should never stand in the throne of the temple, throne of God. That's an abomination, all right? Got it? 27, concerning the false Messiah. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's a 7-year period. That has been shortened. You can scratch it. And in the midst of the week, that's at the end of 3.5 years, which is now 2.5 months, because of Revelation chapter 9, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Why? That's Holy Communion now. Why would it cease? In the sense that it is today, because he will have said, I have returned. And for the, listen carefully, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. The consummation of what? All these things. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Desolate. Now, the word desolate here in the Hebrew is desolator. And I'm going to give you the literal translation from the Hebrew. It is not a condition of desolation. It is the act of a single entity. And in the Hebrew, he is the desolator. It says here where it's talking for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. It says, and on wings as a desolator, abominations even to the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolator, where he is cast into the pit. And they say, is this the man, is this the nut that deceived the whole world, this Lucifer, this Satan? And the answer, of course, is yes. But the big question, my friend, today is, are you going to fall for it? For I tell you, it will come to pass in this generation, for this is the generation of the fig tree. How will you react to this? I believe this with all my heart, and I report it in that light. How will you react to it? Why do I believe it? It is written. Christ would say, when you see, that was spoken of. In other words, he's saying, this is written in the book of Daniel, go read it. Don't let them fool you. The question that had been asked in Mark 13 is, when are you returning and what will be going on then? He said, go back to Daniel and read it and you'll see exactly what's going on. You have heard. Make a deeper study. That is why it is so very important that you become familiar with your Father's Word, that you are not deceived. Now, let's recap just briefly what we've covered today concerning the desolator, who is not, and you can better understand now why Dr. Moffat, when he goes back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, would translate in the Moffat Bible, when you see the desolator standing where he ought not, because that's what the Hebrew says. That's why he would say he instead of it, because that Greek word, again, the same word, the subject determines its value in translating to English. The subject in Daniel 9:27 is not desolation and it. It is the desolator, he who stands up, understanding and bringing forth dark sentences that deceive. Darkness, because he is the truly, instead of the prince of princes, is the prince of darkness. What was the gospel armor to be placed on? Inasmuch as our war in the final generation would not be by the arm or the sword, but peaceably against powers from on high, understanding the dark sentences. What were you to have the gospel armor and the shield of faith on for, to protect yourself against the fiery darts of Satan, the fiery lies that he pours forth, as it is so adequately described in Revelation chapter 12, likened in analogy as a flood of lies. Will you believe his lies? Can you be had, friend? Because many people that are good Christians will no longer spiritually be virgins. And it would be for this reason that Paul would say, I worry about you, because I'm afraid Satan will beguile, or expatio in the Greek, wholly seduce a bunch of you. Will he? Paul would continue on in that 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians and say, hey, it's no big deal, because Satan himself is coming disguised as an angel of light, the Savior. Don't worry if his preachers are not already disguised as angels of light or rebs. What about it? You think about it. Am I talking against religions? No, I'm not. I'm talking against Satan and those that do not teach our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line, precept on precept, truth on truth. Those that play church are in a precarious situation at this time, very dangerous. I marvel when some people say, well, a Christian's a square. Stick around, friend. Stick around. We'll fix your square for you, all right? And it's not going to be long in coming. In love, yes. because it is very hurtful to understand our Father's word and look around the world at this time and see our people in the pain that they are in ignorance. And I'm not saying I know everything, but I know somebody that does. Yeshua Messiah, the teacher of teachers, master of masters. When you follow his teachings and go where he tells you to go, you can't go wrong. The Desolator, he's coming. You know, I might share just one other thing with you. The son of desolate means to destroy something, to cause it to perish, if you would. Do you understand what perdition means? I told you many times. Apalia in the Greek, it is, comes from the same prime root, Apollyon, Satan's name in the Greek. You see, all of his names have a fine line and a web where he weaves together his bed of deception or lies. I hope that you understand what I'm saying is the time that Antichrist appears on this earth is going to be a pretty nice time for those in the flesh. There's not going to be all that much painful about it because he comes in peacefully. That's why so many will be deceived. It will be a time, the reason it will be hard for you to teach against it is because everybody's going to love it, friend, if they did not know before the fact. Prophecy is to speak a thing before it happens in our Father's word. Our Father has spoken that word. He has warned you. Hey, it's up to you what you want to do. You take it from there. All right, bless your hearts. I hope you enjoyed the Desolator, another one of Satan's names. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please? The book of...